Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I want to talk to you. It's a bit of an unusual message to share on New Year's Day, but as we get into it, I want you to catch what I'm saying, and there's a principle that I actually believe will bless you incredibly in 2017. And what I want to talk about, and you'll understand when I tell you that it's unusual to do on the first day of the year, but I want to talk about pride. Everybody go, ooh. But don't worry, okay, because this message is not for you. It's for the person next to you, okay? So it's not for you. So just turn to the person next to you now and say, this is not for me, it's for you. See, now pretty much everyone in the room thinks they're better than the person sitting next to them, so you probably need a message about pride. I remember a time where God really did a number on me, and because the reality is we all struggle with pride. We all have pride in our humanity. And I remember, and you'll understand, it's not really a message about pride. It's actually a message about humility that brings incredible power and blessing into 2017. But I remember where God really did a number on me in the realm of pride. And insecurity is a form of pride. And when I first became a Christian, I got born again on the Gold Coast and in Surfers Paradise. And some will know my story. I was heavily drug addicted. I was mentally ill, but God miraculously set me free from all of it. He told me who I was going to marry. I was only been a Christian about 2 weeks and I married that girl. And so in my church of about 300 in Surfers Paradise, I felt very secure. I mean, I felt I could walk into that place and I was totally secure. And why wouldn't I be? Because everybody knew who I was. Everybody knew of my great exploits in a sense. That's the guy that was the crazy drug story. And you know, God miraculously delivered him. And, you know, I was like, in my church, I was like Golden Boy. Do you know what I mean? Like, if the meeting got a little bit flat, they'd bring up Golden Boy just to share his story again, you know? Like, you know, I was the guy that, there was about six men in the church that all believed Jackie was the one that God had told them, but I was the guy that got heard, you know? Like, and so I was like Golden Boy with the testimony, and we started a youth group, and there was about maybe 15 kids on the first night, and within a little while, it was up to 100 and then eventually to 200. And so in my church, I was Golden Boy. And I could sort of walk in there and I was confident because everybody would be high-fiving and everybody knew who I was. And I felt incredibly secure. But then I remember God did this number on me. I came to Melbourne. I'd been a youth pastor about a year or so. And I came to Melbourne at Bridge Church, it was, and it was a Youth Alive event for all youth pastors. And it's a big church if you've ever been there, like, you know, in area in a sense. And so there's about 500 youth pastors in this room. I'd never been to anything like this before. And so I'm traveling to Melbourne and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be amazing, you know, because the youth group's already 200. I got the girl, you know, I'm pretty much Golden Boy. And when I get to this conference, God's just going to tell me how to get to 300 and 400. And I remember I walked into this room of 500 other youth pastors and something happened where God just set me up so much. And the moment I walked into that room, insecurity just gripped my heart. And I started to feel so uncomfortable, like I'd never felt like this before. And because here I was in a room of hundreds of other people that were doing just as good as me, many of them way better, and no one in this room knew of my great exploits. And I remember sitting in the room and I'd never felt this. I felt so uncomfortable, so insecure, and I almost couldn't talk to people. I didn't look at anyone. And we got to praise and worship And you know, I'm just, what is going on, God? I felt so good before I came, but now I feel terrible. And Russell Evans was preaching and he gets up and he says, you know, after worship, he says, I've got a word. He says, I feel like there's people in this room and you're struggling with insecurity. And I was feeling terrible. I thought, oh, finally, just some love, you know, some pastoral care to tell me it's going to be okay. And he says, the word for you is, God's told me to tell you that your insecurity is pride and you need to repent of your sin. And I'm sitting there going, oh, well, you know, like, God, I'm Golden Boy. What are you doing, you know? And I tell you, it was the worst conference I've ever been to in my life. For 2 or 3 days, I deliberately arrived late. I deliberately left early so that I didn't have to have conversation. I just felt terrible on the inside. I get to the last day and Reggie Dabbs was preaching. And he does this altar call. There's about 500 people in the room. They're all leaders. And he says, you know, for all the males, if you're just in a season where you're really on fire for God, you're just doing so well and you're in a great season, you're on fire in your heart. He says, I want you to come and make a line. And the church widthways, in a sense, is probably double or triple the width of this church. And so all the guys go out to make this line facing the crowd. And I'm sitting there thinking, I could have answered your stupid altar call before your dumb conference, because I was on fire until I came here. And now I've been told I'm backslidden and full of pride. And so there was just no physical way that I could actually answer this altar call. So I'm left standing in the crowd. And then he says, all right, for all the females, you're the same. You're just in a season where you're on fire for God. You're doing so well. And he says, I want you to come now and make a line a few meters apart. He's making this giant tunnel, you know, like of all the girls now facing the guys. And then he says, all right, now everybody else. And the way I took it, code for backslidden, because of my insecurity. He says, all the rest of you, I want you now, this is Reggie Dabbs, I want you to walk through this tunnel and we're going to pray for you. And one thing I didn't tell you is there was a guy that I was the most insecure about. His name was James McPherson. He was the youth pastor before me, but we had never really met. And so I would do youth and every now and again I'd preach. And one of my youth leaders or someone that was under James had said to me, oh, James was a great, he was an amazing preacher. Oh, James this. Oh, James used to write us these letters. They're so amazing. And in my heart, I'd be like, I hate this guy, James McPherson, because of my insecurity. And so now all the people are about to go through the tunnel. And I have this moment where I'm in a massive auditorium. I didn't go to the first altar call. I said to myself, I'm not going through your stupid tunnel. And then I have this moment where everybody else in the room was going towards the tunnel. And I was in the third altar call by myself, left standing in the room by myself, realizing I'm too proud to admit I need to go through the tunnel. And I promise you, for no other reason than the fact that I had this moment where I realized I was going to be left standing in a massive auditorium by myself, I quickly jumped on the end of the line. I went through that tunnel and I had a plan. I said to myself, right, I will not make eye contact with one single person. Because these men and women of God, they were my heroes. They were the people I looked to. And so I'm not going to make eye contact. I'm going to put my head down. I'm just going to walk. I'm going to get out of this stupid tunnel. I'm going home and I'm never coming back to this conference again. And so I'm walking and they're all like praying and praying in the Holy Spirit and that. And I'm sort of walking and I got my head down and I get right to the end where I can sort of see the wall coming up and I'm already embarrassed enough. So I think I'm going to look up once, just once. I'm going to look up. See where to get out of this tunnel. I'm out of here. I'm going home. I get right to the end. I walk past probably 300 people that are praying for me. And I get right to the end. And just as I look up, just once, the only person that I look at and lock eyes with is a guy called James McPherson, just standing there praying in the Holy Spirit. I remember I came out of that tunnel and something broke in me as I fell to the ground and the music began to play in worship and I wept like I hadn't wept in a long time. And I so clearly remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And he's saying, Lucas, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off what everybody else thinks and put them on me and what I think about you. You know, the amazing thing is about 5 or 6 years later, I eventually left the first church that I've ever been in to go and work for a man called James McPherson, who through working for him, my whole life and leadership lifted to another level, and I'm only preaching all over the world today because I connected to a man that my insecurity would have never allowed me to connect to, someone that was bigger and better than me. But because, see, you got to understand, your destiny is connected to people that are bigger and better than you, but insecurity will stop you from getting around the people that God wants to use to elevate you to the next part in your life. I want to quickly talk. Pride in our lives is such a, and we'll get to the better part in a moment of humility, but pride is such a dangerous thing. And the reason it's so dangerous is because it's a sin that you actually can't see. If I'm struggling with lust, at least I know that I'm struggling with lust. I either know my mind or eyes are going places where they shouldn't. But pride can be so deceitful because we can be in it and not even realize. A terrible thing happens in some really cold places in America. A tragic event where it gets so cold it might be minus 30 degrees. And every now and again, families or people die in their cars because they stay sitting in their car with the engine on, but the snow actually blocks the exhaust pipe and the fumes start to come in the car and kills the people in the car. It happens fairly regularly. And the reason you might say, well, why would they do that? Why wouldn't they see carbon monoxide? You actually can't see it. You can't smell it. You just end up dead. See, pride is exactly the same things in our lives, where it's this thing that you often can't see, you can't smell it. In a sense, you just end up dead. And it's such a powerful thing. Let me give you a few scriptures. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and then we'll get to it. Proverbs 29:23. The Bible speaks a lot about humility and pride. Have we got that on the screen? There we go. Pride brings a person low, but a lowly spirit, which is a humble spirit, will gain honor. In other words, will be lifted up. Next scripture, James 4:6. God opposes, have we got that next? James 4:6. There we go. God's down a little bit. God opposes the proud. Another version says he resists the proud. Remember, it doesn't say God stops loving the proud, but he resists, he opposes. And then the greatest part, he says, but he gives, in New King James, it says, but he gives grace to the humble. You know that word grace, it's not the word that I messed up and I fell into sin and I received grace, you know, forgiveness. It's the word empowerment. He gives grace. In other words, he gives supernatural ability to enable you to do what you could never, ever do in your life. Who wants some of that for 2017? I want supernatural ability. God, I'm old enough to know now that there are certain limitations in my humanity, so I want to step into the supernatural blessing of God, the supernatural empowerment, and it comes through humility. Another one, James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves. We'll come back to that. Remember, humble yourselves. Never ask God to humble you, because he will, and it won't be fun. The Bible says, there's nowhere the Bible says you should ask God to humble you. The Bible says you do it to yourself. If you don't, eventually life will humble you. He says, humble yourself, and what? The Lord will lift you up. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. Have we got that one? It says, young men, in the same way, be submissive. Sorry, I probably gave the wrong translation. That was my fault. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All the older people said amen. All of you, clothe yourselves. In other words, do it to yourself with humility towards one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, empowerment to the humble. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Just a couple observations about pride and humility. The first thing, we've already touched on it, is you do it to yourself. The Bible says, clothe yourself, humble yourself. So in other words, it's something that we can do to ourselves to keep humility in our heart. If you were to summarize pride and humility, it's simply this, that when we're proud, we are brought low. We are resisted. But when we have humility, we are lifted up. We are honored. We receive empowerment for every part of our lives. So you've got to understand, this is not a message. And this, I'm a grace preacher. This is not a message that God's like, oh, I want to root out the pride in your life. It comes from a loving dad that says, I want to get grace and empowerment to your 2017. I want your business. I want your marriage to be so supernatural. I want people to look at your life and scratch their heads saying, how in the world did everything change for you? And the reason is because you found humility that attracted the empowerment of heaven that enabled you to do something that you could never, ever do in your own strength. It comes from that heart of a loving dad. You know, we're created in God's image. But you know, the one funny part about humans is, you know, when we meet new people, it's different at church, but we don't talk to each other because we don't know you. We see it the most when we hop into a lift, an elevator. You know, you walk in, and as soon as you walk in, the rule is you're not allowed to talk. Don't look at anyone. And then you, when you, even if you walk in with friends and you're having a conversation on the way, no, you both get in the lift, you go. And then you get out and you finish your conversation. And it's sort of part of humanity, because when we meet strangers, like if we're at the shopping center or whatever, we don't just start having chats normally. But then it's funny, because if your grandchildren or your children are winning some kind of award at an awards night or doing something awesome on the sporting field, all of a sudden you're talking to people you don't know. Oh yeah, he's my grandchild. Yeah, that one's mine. Yeah, I helped make him. Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's the same heart of God. God wants to see you blessed. God wants to brag about you. God wants to show off. And it happens when he gives you this incredible empowerment. You know, really simply, we're going to get into 3 points in a moment. The definition of pride, simply, this is my definition, is that I can do this by myself. I don't need you. Or in other words, this flesh is something special on its own. And again, pride comes in two forms. It's sneaky. It comes in insecurity, which is really a false sense of humility. In other words, oh, I'm just a worm. No one should really like, you know, I'm just so low. I'm so low. Insecurity. The other form is it comes in arrogance. No one's better than who I am. The definition of humility, I think, sums up best out of a rabbi from the 1800s in Poland. He instituted this thing that would help keep the Jewish people humble, believing that they were God's chosen people, where they would have two pieces of paper, one in each pocket, and they would read them throughout the day. One of those pieces of paper, they would read it and it would say, I am but ashes and dust. They would then take the other piece of the paper and it would say, for my sake, the world was created. See, humility is those two things together. It's having an understanding of your limited human condition. When you actually get the fact that this flesh can produce nothing good by itself, when you understand your human condition, that I was simply created from the dust, but you don't stay there by yourself, you couple that understanding of your humanity with understanding God's position toward me, that He loves me, that He wants to bless me, that the whole world was created for me. See, but it's those two things together. See, either of those two bits of paper by themselves will end up in pride. See, when you just understand your limited human condition, you will end up in that false humility. I'm just a worm. I'm nothing. I'm not really good. Why should I expect anything? But if you just have the bit of paper that understands, all this is created for me, then you'll step into arrogance. But when you get those two things together, I understand my limited human condition. But it doesn't stop there. I understand His favor is toward me. His face is shining on me. He wants to bless me. He wants to empower me. When you get those two things together, you end up with pure humility. You know, one of the great misconceptions of humility is that it's actually weak. Humility is so strong. Humility is bold and courageous. It's a lion. You know, the greatest, as I prayed and searched about this message, I felt God show me the greatest picture that we see in the Bible of humility. Because we think humility is weak. But it's actually David, a 16-year-old boy, walking up to a giant. Think about it. This is not just a story. This is grown men that are trained warriors, but they're petrified of this particular giant. Grown men in their 30s, 40s, trained their whole lives. And then a 15 or 16-year-old boy from youth walks into the moment and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He says, today I'm going to cut off his head and the whole world will know that there's a God in heaven. Like, can you imagine if a 16-year-old boy walked into that situation? We'd say, who are you, buddy? Someone needs to cut him back down to size. He's a little bit arrogant, isn't he? But actually, true humility is bold, courageous, confident. Who is this giant that's trying to stand in the way of my family? Who is this giant that's trying to stop my business from going to the next level? See, because true humility, David understood his human limitation, but he also understood who was for him. He understood who was fighting the battle for him. Humility is incredibly confident. Let me just give you three quick things and then we're going to pray. See, because like I said, the hard thing, can I get some water? But it's good we've got a glass. We're halfway there. Thank you. I'm fine with the bottle. That's awesome. Let's give Derek a hand. Thank you. You know, the thing with humility, because you can meet someone, and this is how deceptive it is, that you can think, man, that person was humble, but they were full of pride. And you can meet someone that you think is so arrogant, but they're actually full of godly confidence. Because even in ourselves, it is such a deceptive thing to whether see whether we've got humility or pride, and we all struggle with pride, every single one of us. It's part of being human. But God gave me these three things that actually practical things that reveal either humility or pride. The good thing about these three things is they don't just reveal, they also build. So in other words, if these things reveal pride, which I know for me they have many times, well, the good thing is, yes, it reveals, but now I can use them to build the right thing into my life. The first thing is this that reveals humility or pride, or at least reveals humility, is prayer. Being a person of prayer. You know, I want to look at David and Saul because in the Bible, David was a man that was humble. And even though he messed up so much, God continued to exalt him because of his humility. Whereas Saul was a man that was full of pride and he was brought low. See, we see in David's life, he was continually praying. The Psalms are full of prayers to God. They call David a man after God's own heart. How do you go after God's heart? You do it in prayer. We look at Saul's life and we hardly see a moment where Saul speaks to God. See, prayer is something that reveals humility. Let me show you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he says, I will heal their land. So what does it say? How do you humble yourself? You pray. Think about this for a moment. If I was to have a regular prayer time each morning, even 5 days a week, 3 days a week, whatever, if I was to have a regular prayer time that no one else knew about, but it was just me going before God, it's an act of humility because why in the world else would I do it? Like, why would I stand before God except that I understand the fact that God, I am limited in my humanity. I can't do what you've called me to do. But God, I'm here today to receive your grace. I'm here to receive your wisdom. I'm here to receive your power. See, prayer actually reveals humility. Because no one would pray unless there was humility, because otherwise it would just be stupid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Prayer reveals humility. So if prayer is an act of humility, and you've got to understand this, I'm speaking to myself as well, and this message has impacted me and started to change me in the realm of prayer. But if prayer reveals humility, then I've got to say that prayerlessness reveals pride. Because the fact that I have prayerlessness really is an inward thing that I'm saying, I'm okay. I've got this. I've got 2017. I don't really, this is not a religious thing, do you know what I'm saying? But inward it's like, no, I'm okay. But the fact that you go and you stand before heaven, it's revealing every day, no, I'm not okay. Jesus, I need you. I need your help. I need your favor. I need your blessing. I don't want to do normal in 2017. I want to see that empowerment. And one of the ways I humble myself is through prayer. You know, I met this guy in America. And you know how Aussies, I can say this here. Sometimes Americans annoy us. We can meet them and within 10 seconds, we're annoyed and we don't like them. And the reason often that we don't is because they can often be overconfident. You know, that it seems like arrogance. I remember I met this guy in our church and we were actually part of his Connect group. And I'd only met him very briefly in the church car park. And sort of within a moment, he gave that vibe. Do you know what I mean? Like he was sort of a bit arrogant. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, I don't think we can be friends. And then I thought, you know, he's our Connect leader. He's a very successful businessman. He started a business 12 years ago, construction. It's now bringing in more than he's doing $50 million a year of work through this business he started. And so, you know, I thought there are Connect leaders. I'll give it another go. So we planned to meet up with him and his family. They've got children. We've got children. We all go to get yogurt, frozen yogurt. And again, I've never really met him except for that quick incident in the car park. And so we're standing in line. It's just me and him. And I'm making small talk. And I'm like, you know, when did you start your business? He's like, oh, it was about 12 years ago. So then I say, well, oh, man, so you went through the GFC, Global Financial Crisis. I said, you know, how'd you go? He goes, oh, crushed it. Mate, crushed it. I was like, yep, we can't be friends. That's pretty much done now. In my head, I said, I didn't say that out loud. And so in my head, I was like, yeah, no, what I thought has just been confirmed. As Aussies, we just don't like that, okay? And so then we sit down, because obviously I can't just hop in the car and take the family, yogurt's off. So we sit down, and he starts to open up and share. He starts to talk about how 14 years ago his life was devastated. His wife walked out on him. He starts to tear up a little bit as he talks about how broken he was. And he starts to talk about how for the first time in his life he had been a Christian, but for the first time he put himself under another man of God. He let a man speak into his life that was a godly man. And he said, the thing that that man taught me was prayer. He taught me to pray every single day of my life. He looks at me with tears running down his cheek. He says, I get business people come and they always want to ask me how I built my business, but they never like the answer. He says, for the last 10 years of my life, Monday to Friday, I pray from 5:30 till 7 o'clock every single morning. And as he starts tearing up, I start to realize what I judged was arrogance was actually incredible boldness from humility. See, prayer reveals and builds humility and it will cause you to be bold and courageous. Just two more points. I just get the keyboarder to be ready to come. The second thing is this that reveals or builds is teachability. See, teachability in 2017 is an act of humility. Remember again, David and Saul. If you know the Bible, it doesn't matter if you don't, but David has this moment where he had actually slept with another man's wife. Then he murders the man of that particular wife. He was the king though. And it's not like what we have, you know, sort of, it was a, what do you call it when it's a king's rule? Different to what we have. You're not helping me here, Derek. Monarchy, where the king could do whatever he wants. He didn't have to get votes or anything. He was the king. But a prophet appears before him, Nathan, and he corrects him and he rebukes him. And the amazing thing about David is he could have told that prophet to get out and go away. Don't you dare come and speak to the king about what I've done wrong. But the Bible says David humbled himself in prayer. See, David, although he was the king of the entire country, he was still teachable and he had people that were able to speak into his life to bring correction, to bring direction. Whereas Saul, we see the same thing happen where the prophet comes to correct. But every time he was corrected, he would always bring justification. He would always bring excuses and reasons why it's not really that bad. See, teachability reveals humility. You know, it's so easy to sit here and go, oh, I'm teachable. Well, it's easy to say you're teachable, but who is there in your life that has permission to speak into your world? For all ages, who is there in your world that could actually step in and bring correction? How many marriages would have been saved if people had godly people in their life that had permission to step in and say, hey, the way it's going is not the right way and you need to bring change in your life? See, teachability is an act of humility. And remember, humility brings empowerment from heaven. Another way we see whether or not we're teachable is when you meet someone new. Do you spend most of the time telling them about all the things you've done, or do you spend most of the time trying to find out what you could learn from that particular person? It reveals teachability. You know, how teachable are you when you come to church just looking for God? Come on, just speak to me about one thing. I know for me it's so annoying, and parents will get this. You know, when your kids, they're like 7 or 8, and they're like, yeah, no, I know. And you know they don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've been alive for like 35 years longer. You're like, no, you're 9. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's so annoying. But the same thing sometimes for God, but he's not annoyed in the same way we are. He's annoyed because he's like, I want to get grace to you. I want to bring more empowerment. I want to take you to another level. But it happens when we're teachable. You know, a friend of mine was in our church in San Diego, not our church, but the one we go to. They have two services in their South campuses back to back. And my friend was talking to his friend who's a neurologist. And he says, I just really struggle in the second service to ever get anything out of it. And the neurologist said, you know, the reason for that is when you approach neurologically, when you approach a situation and you approach it like you already know what's the answer. In other words, when you know it all, he says your brain actually shuts down and you are unable to learn new things. Think about that. Humility brings empowerment, but even our own brain wiring, when we approach situations like I already know it all, our brain shuts down and we are no longer able to be empowered by God. Last point is this, if the keyboarder could come. The last thing that reveals it. And remember, these things build it. I can become a person of prayer and build humility into my life. I can become a person that becomes more teachable. The last thing is this, is thankfulness. Derek touched on it earlier. You know, again, we see David, who was not perfect. He made many mistakes, but God kept lifting him up. But he was continually thankful. Read the Psalms. He's just talking about how good God is. I'm so thankful that God has done these good things in my life. Saul, on the other hand, who was brought low because of pride, he built a monument toward himself rather than lifted up how good God was.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.